Welcome back to another episode of Fantasy End Zone. I'm your host, as always. Please follow me on Twitter, or X if you call it now, at Louis Lewis 5. That's LEWYLEWIS and the number 5. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. Be sure to follow, like, subscribe, click that little bell notification, and also refer a friend. On today's episode, I will be talking about news and notes from around the league and giving you my second year breakout players. So with that, let's get fantasy. It's showtime. Big news right now is the tush push going to get banned? I mean, there's a league vote tomorrow. And what does this mean? It's hard to say, because if it does get banned, I think Jalen Hurts, it hurts him. I mean, weird. But ultimately, if it does get banned from the league, they have a vote tomorrow. It got pushed off from previous meeting in April, I think it was. But that subtracts roughly like 8 touchdowns for Jalen Hurts. And that's good news for Saquon Barkley owners, because that means you probably are going to get a lot of added bonuses on top of the potential 2,000 yards rushing again. In my opinion, I just think get better and play better defense. Learn how to stop it. Invite these people that know rugby. You know, that's really what it comes down to. It's a rugby play. Who gets, you know, their shoulder pads lower? You know, if you want to stop it, make sure you have these rugby trainers coming out. Work with the defensive line. Work with your offensive line if you're trying to do it as well. Is it just for quarterbacks? No. We've seen, you know, Tucker Kraft has been doing it, so Jordan Love doesn't get hurt. We've seen other players. I'm sure if it doesn't get banned, I'm calling it this year or right now that Tyler Warren will get 3 touchdowns by doing this. It's just that going to be that simple. Just learn how to stop it yourself, and this way you can't complain about it. Ultimately, it's just part of the game. And I understand people are saying, oh, it's an injury risk. I don't really believe that, but that's just my thinking. Also, it sounds like right now Cam Ward and Will Levis are splitting QB1 reps during practice. We all know it's going to be Cam Ward. I mean, he got selected first overall. You can't tell me it's going to be other than that. I'm sorry. Will Levis, your time is done. These coaches, you know, Callahan's playing for his job, essentially. Like, you're not going to get anywhere if you're going to continue to let Levis play. You've seen it last year. He made a lot of good plays, but he had a lot of stupid plays. And you drafted Cam Ward for a reason, because you want him to be the number one guy. And rightfully so. I don't blame Titans. He's the best quarterback in this draft. And I hope he proves it, especially in dynasty leagues. I have no shares of him personally, but in draft origins, on Fast Draft, I have plenty of shares for him. Also, if you don't know what Fast Draft is, go ahead and download it. It's just so fun, always drafting. You don't even have to worry about your lineups. It's best ball tournament. If you use my promo code Lewis, you get dollar for dollar match up to $50 on your first deposit. That's code Lewis, LEWIS. Other news, Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel are taking quarterback 1 and 2 snaps currently at Browns OTAs. I don't know how, I mean, I understand Dylan Gabriel was third round pick. Reports came out, yes, that Shedeur Sanders was far better than Dylan Gabriel in rookie minicamp. I think, personally, I think Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco should be the quarterback one currently. And then it's probably going to go to Shedeur Sanders. Week 10, probably, just because the Browns are going to be, I don't think the Browns are going to be that great this year, personally, but that's going to put people in the seats. They're going to sell tickets with Shedeur Sanders, and I think it's a good idea to have Shedeur start ultimately. Like, why not give him a chance? You got two first-round picks next year if he does something. And, I mean, even, I guess, Dylan Gabriel, if he does something, at least this way you have another – you have two first-round picks to help him out. Matthew Golden signed his rookie deal. Marvin Harrison Jr., it sounds like he's been hitting the weight room, putting on muscle, also entering his goals this season is just win more games. Shedeur Sanders signed his rookie deal, but the biggest news has got to be the tush push coming in for this week. With that, let's hear a word from the Podfather about Origin Draft, the rookie.
It is a damn shame we only get to do a handful of rookie drafts every season. After doing all this rookie analysis, you want more bites at the apple. And that's why we have the Fast Draft Origins Tournament. You draft six rookies, the top four into your lineup. It's best ball style. And it's just $5 to win a $5,000 first prize. So if you're passionate about Taj Brooks or RJ Harvey, get on Fast Draft and use your favorite creator's code to get a $50 deposit match. A $50 deposit match to go make thousands of dollars drafting the rookies that you know and love.
Yeah, so go ahead and, like I said, add my promo code for your first deposit up to $50, dollar for dollar match. And that's code Lewis, L-E-W-I-S. Let's get into my year two breakout players. I'm only going to name one for each position, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. It's going to be a shorter episode. I personally just got off my real job. Long day, wet out all day, and I've been up since 5 o'clock this morning. Anyways, at quarterback position, I think it has to be Caleb Williams. After a challenging rookie season, Williams is set to lead a revamped Bears offense. You added, you improved your offense line. Protecting him was the biggest mistake last year. They did not have, and they paid a price. I think he had, what, 60-plus sacks last year? And they got that. They fired away their coach. Was it Matt Nagy last year? Just terrible coach. I said it right when they drafted Caleb Williams. You need an offensive-minded head coach. What do? They get the, you know, the most sought-after available coach in Ben Johnson. And he's an offensive player, or head coach. He's got tools around him. You know, if he didn't have enough last year, what do? You had already DJ Moore, Swift, Cole Kmet, Roman Dunze last year's draft as well. What else do you add? You had another top 10 playmaker in Colson Loveland. And in the second round, let's hit that damn thing again and get him Luther Burden the third. Oh, Kyle Menungai late on seventh round. He looks pretty similar to Isaiah Pacheco. Maybe it's just because he's coming out of Rutgers, but expect him to have a good season as well this year. But yeah, 2024, he is running for his life, mostly finishing as quarterback 16. Now with an actual offensive minded coach, amazing offense line. You know, they got Joe Tooney and others. He should slide easily into top 10 consideration for quarterbacks. I just don't see how he doesn't. I'm calling it now. He'll be the first Bears quarterback over 4,000 passing yards and over 30 passing touchdowns. Last year, he had 3,500, 20 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. That's one thing that he's actually was good. He didn't turn the ball over a whole lot. He had 6 interceptions. He also added 489 yards rushing, but he took a league high 68 sacks. That's where it killed for fantasy. In some of my leagues, you get minus 1 point for a sack. Should have just traded his, you know, with that bad offense line. But yeah, you added Johan Jackson, Joe Tooney, and Drew Ballmore. And you have Darnell Wright starting at right tackle. Amazing, you know, what Ben Johnson did previously with Jared Goff's career. He, you know, redefined him and made him into a winner, great quarterback. I mean, hell, I'd have Jared Goff in most of my fantasy if I could, too. And I think he is going to play to Caleb Williams' strengths as a dual threat quarterback. He's going to get outside and he's going to run. He's probably only going to run for 400 or 500 yards, but that's 400 or 500 yards more than, you know, other players such as like pocket quarterbacks. I don't think Joe Burrow's taken off for that much, but it has to be easily the number two or the second year breakout has to be Caleb Williams. To me, the only other one, I'll say this as well, I'll do an honorable mention. I think Drake May is going to be up there too, just because he's getting upgraded offense line. You know, you drafted Will Howard 4th overall. You got a better head coach in Mike Vrabel, and you get help at the skilled position. Last year, Mayo? I think he did not. He had his work cut out for him and ultimately failed. It is simple. And you could see that across the board. You drafted Jalen Polk high with your number 2 overall or 2nd round pick, and he flopped. He got beat out by Kayshon Boutte and DeMario Douglas. Javon Baker, he's dust too. What do? You get Travion Henderson coming out of the backfield. He's going to be your James White in this Josh McDaniels offense, and he's going to be a better – he very well could play a whole lot if Ramondre Stevenson does, in fact, start fumbling. Watch out for Henderson. It's a big plus there. But we're talking about Drake May. I think with his divisions, he's going to be behind a lot, so he's going to be throwing a lot. I mean, that's the same thing with Caleb Williams. It's going to be a shootout division. You got the Vikings. You have the Packers. You have Detroit. All and themselves. All 4 of them can put up points. And I think they're going to be behind quite a bit. So I'm thinking they're going to throw a lot, but especially for Drake May and Patriots and company, like who says they're not going to be behind, because they will be. What do you think about that, chat? Let me know. Put in the comments. I'll try to get to them. At running back, I mean, this is probably the hardest position to predict. A breakout player since they all pretty much flopped last year, besides Bucky Irving and Tyrone Tracy. I could sit here and say, yeah, Bucky Irving's going to have a good breakout. I think he already broke out last year, so I'm not considering him. Otherwise, he would be in the best second year back. But this is breakouts. He broke out last year. He's got the starting job over Rashad White and Sean Tucker. Tyrone Tracy, I don't think he's going to have a breakout year, especially now that Cam Scadaboo just got drafted by the Giants in the 4th round and he had a fumbling issues. So I think they're going to give a lot of goal line work to Cam Scadaboo, especially because, I mean, hell, we've seen in the college playoffs, He can't be touched and can't be tackled. So with that, I'll say my honorable mention first is Trey Benson, just because I personally think this is a year that James Conner will not finish more than he will only appear in 10 games. I'm thinking James Conner. And so with that means a whole lot of volume for Trey Benson, but it's not guaranteed. So he's my honorable mention, being the runner up. My breakout prediction is going to be Braylon Allen. It's not because I'm a homer. I'm from Wisconsin. He came from Wisconsin. Actually, he's from Wisconsin. It just sounds like the new Jets regime isn't all that excited about Breece Hall at all. And I think it mostly involves his final year of his contract. And if they play him a shit crap ton, it's going to cost them a lot of money to try and re-sign him. And with that being said, I think they're going to use Braylon Allen a whole lot more than we anticipate and expect, because again, he's only on his second year of his 4-year rookie contract. Why would you not see what you got in a young guy compared to Breece Hall? I understand he's better, but I truly believe that Hall will be traded either before or during the season. A prime location for me would be the Chicago Bears. Who says no? DJ Moore for Breece Hall. DJ Moore goes to the Jets. They get a playmaker. DJ Moore goes back to his former teammate with Justin Fields. And Ben Johnson gets an actual running back he probably wants rather than DeAndre Swift. What do you think about that trade, chat? Let me know. But anyways, we're talking about Braylon Allen. And if that happened, the sky is the limit for Braylon Allen. I mean, how is he not going to be the breakout player that we want or I want? I'm trading for him or trying to in most of my dynasty leagues when I can pick up shares. Last year, he had 334 yards rushing on 92 carries, 148 yards receiving on 19 receptions. So he had a total of 482 yards. And he's only done that, or he's under 21 right now. Jesus. So yeah, he's under 21. So for dynasty purposes, get you some Braylon Allen. But he's going to, it should be an increased backfield with 3-down system running back. Aaron Glenn already came out and said he wants to give these guys all opportunities and do a running back by committee. Allen's the biggest running back out of all of them. So that means goal line situations should be Allen's. And I just think Aaron Glenn wants to ground and pound this ball rather than throw it with Justin Fields. I mean, you only have one playmaker out there, and that is Garrett Wilson. You don't have anything else. I think last I looked at the depth chart, it was Alan Lazard and Malachi Corley, Garrett Wilson, now with Mason Taylor as tight end. It only makes sense to have a great run game. And that's when you get yourself some shares of Braylon Allen. Let's move on to wide receiver. Originally, I did have the whole shebang of putting Caleb Williams and Roman Dunze into each other. But after breaking down Roman Dunze's role last year, yeah, it was limited. He still had 101 targets. Only caught 54 of them, but in this Ben Johnson's new offense, I could see his numbers going up, and there's no Keenan Allen there anymore. But I don't think he's going to have a big breakout compared to this wide receiver that they just traded the old number one receiver this offseason. The second number one receiver for this team was hurt last year with a torn ACL. So he'll be recovering. Who do you think it is? Let me know, chat. I'll just read some, you know, early setbacks. This is going to be your clues for it. He missed six games due to a gunshot wound sustained in an off-field incident. His rookie record, or he recorded 31 catches, 400 yards, and 3 touchdowns in his first year. In week 17, he posted 8 catches, 141 yards, and a touchdown. Marks the most yards receiver by a 49er rookie in a single game since Jerry Rice, 241 in 1985. If you guess Ricky Pearsall, you are correct. I think he's got easily the biggest ceiling out of these receivers coming into second year. He's getting all, you know, all the snaps with the first team offense. They just signed Brock Purdy to big money contract, so expect huge things with that. But I think Ricky Pearsall, with able to train, I mean, hell, he missed 6 weeks because of a gunshot wound during the offseason last year. So he didn't have a full mini camp, training camp, whatever you want to say. He didn't play in any preseason games. He was shot. Like, this guy got shot in the chest and he's recovering. So he missed the whole first six weeks. It was potential, you know, life threatening in a way, I guess you'd say, any gunshot. But anyways, now all of a sudden, so he was supposed to be the wide receiver 3 going into the offense with Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk there. Also, they have, I can't remember, Juwan Jennings, there we go, and George Kittle, but they traded away Deebo Samuel. They traded him. Brandon Ayuk's recovering from a torn ACL. I don't think he's going to be available week 1. I'm guessing he's going to start on the PUP list, he's going to be gone for 6 weeks. But I just feel like he's going to be out there, and he's not going to give up the job. He's going to have Juwan Jennings out there as well. George Kittle, obviously, he signed a huge contract as well, so he's going to be there. But Pearsall's speed and agility aligns very well in Shanahan's scheme fit and his route running abilities. And we've seen toward the end of the year his yards after catch. I mean, week 17, 8 catches, 141 yards. Looks like he's coming on and he can grow and develop. His route running is improved. Strength and conditioning, I mean, hell, when you're missing your whole preseason, you don't really have the greatest condition, but focusing on that can increase his durability, performance throughout the season. I think these are going to be huge factors contributing to Pearsall's breakout season, and I'm predicting this year he's going over 1,000 yards. Put it on the board. And like I said, honorable mention was Roma Dunze. Let's get into tight ends. And this one, again, I could say, oh, Brock Bowers. Well, of course he's going to have a hell of a season. He's probably number one, number two tight end in the whole league. He already broke out last year. He's not going to, I can't say him for a breakout because then it's just too predictable. My honorable mention is Jatavion Sanders, Panthers tight end. If he didn't, I mean, he could have had good numbers last year, unfortunately, for that massive, dirty looking hit. He sustained a concussion. It's just unfortunate. I think he's going to have a good season this year in that offense with Bryce Young looking a whole lot better. Plus, they got T-Mac, I think, Tyrell McMillan, whatever he wants to go get called. But I think the team's going to be surprising, to say the least. But my breakout prediction is Theo Johnson, Giants, tight end. He's very athletic, talented. Coming into the season, He got his rookie year cut due to injury, and bad quarterback play also did not help get Johnson going last year. He only had 29 catches, 331 yards, one touchdown over 12 games. His best game was 3 catches, 51 yards, and a touchdown. That is his best game he put out there as a professional so far. But with this depth chart, Daniel Bellinger entering his final year of his contract and not appearing to be the central part of this future for this Giant team, I think, you know, Chris, was it Manhertz, is basically a blocker for this team. So it's not very competitive for Theo Johnson to come out and step up when you have Malik Nabers coming across, running routes. You have Theo Johnson, a big physical, you know, I think at the combine he ran very well. He's fast, physical. Can't find his statistics currently. But he just fits this offensive scheme, and I think Daboll is going to be maximizing his performance and to his strengths. I just have high hopes for him. I got him in a few of my dynasty leagues, and you never know if he starts building chemistry, not with current probably projected starter Russell Wilson, but Jackson Dart for future. I think Jackson Dart starts half this year because Daboll and company is playing for the jobs. So they're probably going to give him a little break, a little test. But ultimately, I just think overall he's going to be playing as in Jackson Dart. But looking back at Theo Johnson, he's a high upside tight end two with potential of finishing as top 12 tight ends, especially in leagues that reward catches or rewards yards after catch. But I think he's just overall a great physical play-to-play making ability tight end. Let me know what you guys think, chat. And let's get one more promo from the Podfather again.
If you play in Dynasty, you need Dynasty Deluxe, our premium package for Dynasty Leaguers. We rank over 300 players, updated every week, all year long. And there's a win now mode and a rebuild mode with Superflex and tight end premium controls. And a Dynasty League sync, where you can say, sync down all of my sleeper teams, all my FFPC teams. And then you can browse around your leagues for who has needs. And then you can use our trade finder to see what kinds of trades are happening in leagues that are similar to the one I want to do. Then you can analyze trades using our trade analyzer, which balances the lifetime value, which includes pick values out to like 2028. All of that plus the rookie guide, $25 value, is included. So if you're just in one Dynasty League, Dynasty Deluxe is well worth it. And use your host's promo code, and you can bump up to All In and get $25 off.
Yeah, go ahead and use my promo code, Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, and you get $25 off the All In package. It's well worth it. And here at Player Profiler, we like to keep you in the know. And with that, that is a wrap of today's episode. Hopefully you enjoyed it. If not, still click that like, subscribe, bell notification. It'd be greatly appreciated. Also, like I said before, refer a friend. Please get this word out there. I'm going to be starting to have more guests on this show. Also, follow me on Twitter or X, whatever you call it. At Louis Lewis 5. That's L-E-W-Y, L-E-W-I-S, and the number 5. But I will see you guys and talk to you guys next week. So have a good rest of your week. And if you have rookie drafts still going on, good luck on those. Also, speaking of rookie drafts, if you're in a rookie draft and you are literally taking all 8 hours to pick your picks, be mindful of all the other people in your league and have your notifications on. It helps the league out, makes everyone much happier. Right now I'm in a league. We start it 48 hours, and literally every 8 hours we're waiting on one guy. It's just ridiculous. But anyways, with that, I'm getting out of here. You guys have a good rest of your week, and I'll talk to you fantasy heads next week. Peace.